G'day, I'm Jack Thompson. Australia's environmental problems are serious and we all need to wake up and start getting involved, even if it's only in our own homes, because if we don't, we're going to lose the very elements we need to sustain human life. It's as basic as that. The environment is not something out there. It's absolutely bloody essential to life. Visit www.landcareaustralia.com.au or phone 1800 151105.
You listen to Buckets Radio 104.1 FM, and we have the Environment Show. And this morning, we have with us Mr. Mike Miraza from AGL's Head of Upstream Gas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you, Bruce. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. It's a beautiful day up here in beautiful Gloucester.
Yeah, and I'm up here at Brisbane at the annual APIA conference, which is being held in Brisbane. 3,500 delegates, so there's a lot of people here.
Right, okay. It's, yeah, I tried to get up to one of those a couple of years ago. It looks like a good conference to go to.
Yes, it's once a year, and it's the main game around Australia for the Petroleum Exploration and Production Association.
Rod, would you be discussing anything about what happened at the Gloucester gas meeting just recently at the Soldiers Club?
I have had quite a few people come up to me because, as you're probably aware, it was reported quite widely that I was up there. So a lot of people came up and just wanted to know what the mood was in the room and what some of the sentiment was locally. And I shared some of my thoughts, which again have been fairly well reported, Bruce.
Right. Yeah. Look, there's a bit of concern up here about the very large police presence that was there on the night. And,
I must admit, I probably saw about half a dozen. It was really the police making an operational decision about attending and deciding on the sort of people that might be there. We had discussed with the BGSPA and the council that it would be appropriate to at least notify the police that an event would be taking place with, I think we had about 400 people there. So we notified them and advised them that we had accepted the meeting, and the police obviously did their own research and made their own operational decisions.
Right, okay. I'm actually trying to get some comment from the police on that. I believe that the Foster head command was in charge of that, and we will be having the police give us some information on that. Does AGL feel that there was a need for so many police to be in attendance on the night?
Well, Bruce, it needs to be put on the record that decisions about police attendance are for the police. It's the police make those decisions. AGL, the council, or the BGSPA don't at all. Make inquiries, make requests. The police took their own advice, made their decisions, and they turned up on the night.
Right. I was speaking to one of our councillors, or someone from the council yesterday, Graham Gardner, and he indicated that council indicated that they didn't feel that there was any need for such a presence. They notified the local police to notify them of a meeting, but the council felt that it wasn't a protest or a blockade, and that it was mostly people over 50, even over 60 years old, who were in attendance, that there's a bit of concern about how do they view the people of Gloucester, and why do they feel that there's such a dangerous issue? I mean, we have nights up here where we have 300 people drinking at hotels, big events and stuff like that, and we don't have anywhere near as many police in attendance at something like that.
Yeah, again, Bruce, I think these decisions are for the police to make. As I said, I'm up here in Brisbane at the moment. There are 3,500 delegates, and I would say that there would be 40, 50 police around the convention centre. It's not uncommon nowadays when big groups meet, particularly groups such as the oil and gas industry, which at times has some controversy associated with it, the way that it interacts with communities. As I said, I'm up here at the moment, and I think there'd be 40 or 50 police here at the convention centre in Brisbane.
Right, okay. All right, well, look, I'll chase it up with the police down here and just trying to get some more information. People don't want to see that as a growing thing. AGL, it looks like that AGL has got the police on their side and that they're using that. That's the look of it up here at the moment. So anyway, look, there's a bit of talk about aquifer connectivity. In some previous exploration that was done down near Stratford, it was revealed in Sam Atkinson's report that there was aquifer connectivity between the lower aquifers and upper aquifers, and gas and water was blown out of three wells that were some 300 metres away from the exploration well. There's big concern about the fact that the basin has not been studied well enough, and that AGL is, well, still in a sense refusing to do a full study before they go ahead with production.
Well, Bruce, you're aware that AGL's groundwater monitoring program is, I think, arguably the biggest program that's been rolled out in Gloucester. We have been focusing on the stage one area. These groundwater monitoring stations and wells that we've put go down to various depths. They're measuring the streams. That program is going to be rolled out across the wider Gloucester Basin in months and years to come. We are getting a lot of information about the aquifers, the water levels, the water quality. I think it's fair to say that AGL's program actually in the stage one area is very comprehensive, and we've found a lot of information about exactly how the water flows and the water quality works in the Gloucester area.
Right, so you've identified why there was connectivity at Stratford?
Well, we haven't actually identified that, Bruce. Interestingly, that's a theory, but we are testing that theory by taking samples up at shallow areas, and we're taking samples much deeper, and we're taking those samples away to do the test to find out if the water quality between the layers is in fact the same or quite different. And so far, the water quality at shallow depths and deep depths are quite different.
So that's correct. Yeah.
At the moment, we have not concluded there's connectivity between the shallow and deeper coal seams.
Well, have you found the reason why there was connectivity in that previous exploration?
Well, as I said, Bruce, we actually haven't confirmed that there is any connectivity. We are doing that test. So the information that I have is that connectivity has not yet been concluded.
So are you questioning that exploration that was done years ago by Lucas and Malopo?
No, what happened is that was done on a pretty straightforward groundwater system. We've put a much more comprehensive one in. We've taken care that when we've drilled these wells and completed these wells, that they're using best practice as well as the best technologies in order to assure ourselves that when we're sampling water, it's being taken from the actual levels that we're sampling it. And the water testing that we're doing is designed to actually put that question to task. Is there connectivity or isn't there? And at the moment, we have not seen connectivity between the levels.
So are you suggesting that Lucas and Malopo used a less than best standard practice, or are you suggesting that...
What's happened, Bruce, is the information that is being asked of us, the way that we're going about the groundwater testing has become much more sophisticated, and it's the whole science has moved on from where it was from AJ Lucas Malopo's day, and that's pushing up to 10 years or so ago. It was a long time ago. So, when we work with the Office of Water, they give us best practice recommendations, and those are the ones that we are implementing when we design and roll out our groundwater programs. So, yes, the science of groundwater testing has moved on quite a lot in the last 10 years.
Right, okay. Now, the radioactivity level of the produced water up here at Gloucester, what sort of radioactive level have we got in our water here?
There is no radioactivity in the water, Bruce. I think that's a furphy. That's something that's come out of the blue. We don't have radioactive waters in the Gloucester province or in the Gloucester district. So again, I don't know where that one came from.
Is the coal up here doesn't have any nuclear properties to it? Doesn't have
no,
any
no,
thor-
no,
there's no thorium
not,
in our coal
not,
up here?
Not at all. We've got coal seams. We've got rock layers. The water that's coming to the surface doesn't have radioactivity, Bruce, as I said.
So that coal seam that you're drawing the water from doesn't have any thorium in there?
The water that's coming to the surface, Bruce, I repeat, doesn't have any radioactivity in it at all.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, there's a big concern about that because of the, you know, the naturally occurring radioactive materials that are underground, and that, that of course can seep into the water and affect the water. Look, Mike, there's a big concern about why the rush. Why is there such a rush to get going ahead here in Gloucester? Now, AGL have got their site down at Camden, which they were talking about expanding, but they're no longer going to do that in the area because of the recent state government rules. Why is there such a rush to try and get ahead up here in Gloucester and get producing before you get a full...
I have heard that comment about the rush to produce gas from Gloucester, but let's just reflect on what has taken place over the last 4.5 years. This project was conceived 4.5, 5 years ago. The amount of work that's been done and the number of conditions that have been imposed on us, which are now being satisfied and will be satisfied over the next year and a half, the approval process that we went through took 4.5 years. That's not a rushed process, Bruce. That's, in fact, a comprehensive, very robust process. New South Wales is in urgent need of new sources of natural gas, and we need those in the next 2 to 3 years. Otherwise, we're going to have a real gas crisis. So, no, it hasn't been a rush. We've been working steadily on this project for 4.5, 5 years. We have our approvals. We've got a number of conditions which now have to be satisfied. That will take a further year and a half of work. That's a very robust process.
Right, okay. The idea with the produced water that we're going to have up here, and there's a lot of it, I've been following this gas thing. Well, I've been involved with the gas since day one up here. I went to a meeting down at Wards River and we were explained about how reverse osmosis was going to be used to protect our water supplies and our land up here. Now it would appear that you're moving to the dilution method. You want to use our good water from up here to dilute that produced water and then spray it onto our ground up here. People are very concerned about the build-up of salinity, the fact that as the ground gets a little bit more sodden and we have a rainfall event, that irrigation water will make its way into those waterways. Why is the reverse osmosis not going to be used, even for this very initial part? You'd think you'd only need a very small reverse osmosis plant to go for this initial testing stage that you're doing. Why are you not using reverse osmosis?
Bruce, that's a good question. And produced water is going to be one of the areas of the project that we need to get a handle on, and we are doing some variations to that at the moment. We're in fact doing a trial